Well, this evening we'll be continuing in our look at Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, found on page 284 of your pew Bibles. And I'm going to start reading again at verse 1 through verse 13. Hear again the word of the Lord. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were yourself, whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight the man was startled, and he turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." This morning we looked at the way that God had transformed the situation that Naomi had found herself. We marveled at the way that God had taken Naomi from that position of feeling as if she was under the heavy hand of God, having suffered greatly for that sin of leaving the Holy Land and going to Moab and allowing her sons to pursue foreign wives, doubling down in that determination and staying more than a sojourn, but for at least a decade, if not a decade and a half, before humbly coming home to Bethlehem. And how that in chapter 2 we had found a Naomi who was almost despondent in grief, but by chapter 3 we see as Naomi has become reacquainted with the goodness of God, as she has seen God's wonderful provision both to her and to her daughter-in-law, that we see a transformation take place within Naomi. We see that instead of being so self-absorbed in her own calamities and difficulties, now her gaze is to the one who has so faithfully served her and provided for her over these 8 weeks of the harvest. That one whom she had known as a daughter-in-law now had risen to such an extent within her eyes that she is referred to by Naomi as "my daughter." And we see that one whose name means pleasant now is beginning to demonstrate more of that that name in her life as she is returning to those duties that typified the duties of mothers. And we noted that even in chapter 1, Naomi realized that and had sought to send her daughters-in-law back to their mothers because it was the duty of the mothers to make the arrangement for the marriage of their daughters. And here, as Naomi comes out of that funk that she had been in, as she emerges from that time of depression, that time of mourning, we see that she sees this opportunity, this responsibility, this position of privilege that she now has to demonstrate her love to her daughter by seeking for her rest. And in the mind of Naomi, that rest would have come by Ruth being able to herself enjoy the institution of marriage, to find the security of a home where she could once again perhaps enjoy the prospects of being a mother herself. And we see that the wheels began to turn in the head of Naomi as she began to think in terms of, how do I go about this important duty? Who would I entrust this one who has so lovingly cared for me over these weeks, months, perhaps even years? And the one who comes to her mind is the one who has shown so much care for them, as Ruth has been about that work of threshing in the fields. She thinks of Boaz. Now, we don't have described here in this plan necessarily that she has thought through so much that Ruth would perhaps be married to Boaz. We think that could be in the back of her mind. But she does see here an opportunity that perhaps Ruth's situation could be improved even if she would find the favor of Boaz to be employed within his household, or in some fashion continue to be associated with this godly man. And we see that she doesn't have this plan so well laid out, because she says, when you get there and you're lying at his feet, he'll tell you what to do. We mentioned this morning that she was confident that this one who had demonstrated a love of God, who had been adhering to the word of God as it instructed him to in the management of his estate and of these fields, she believed would give good counsel to this precious one, her daughter, Ruth. And then we started our time this evening reading through this passage from Proverbs, where the godly characteristics of woman are laid out for us. And lest any of you men that are here think that that has nothing to do with you, remember that you and I have been called to be the bride of Christ, have we not? And so this description of a godly woman laid out in Proverbs 31 is applicable to us as men as well, as we would satisfy our duties as the bride of Christ, demonstrating this faithfulness as well. But as I mentioned earlier, in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth follows after the book of Proverbs. So this beautiful picture or example that's laid out, this pattern of godliness in Proverbs 31, then is shown in its practical state in the life of two godly women, Naomi and Ruth. And we see here the character of Ruth on display throughout the book, but especially here. Here, Ruth is given these instructions to go in the cover of darkness and to lay herself at the feet of this Boaz. And remember, how many times has Ruth reminded us that she is but a Moabite woman, a foreigner? This had to be a pretty scary thing to think along these lines of going and laying oneself out there at the foot of this kinsman. How would he respond? Would her intent be misread, that she came under the cover of darkness and that she positioned herself after he had fallen asleep after a long day of work and winnowing the grain and celebrating the abundance that God had given? There's nothing that's within this story that should lead us to think anything inappropriate occurred. I think we see the loving hand of God demonstrated here as well as he is fashioning a time when a right interaction can be had between Boaz and this young woman. There wouldn't have been such an opportunity any other time for her to approach this owner. And we're going to see a wonderful response from this Redeemer. She goes down to the threshing floor just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. We see that she is a woman who was willing to take instruction, that her love for her mother-in-law demonstrates itself by caring for those plans made by her mother-in-law and acting upon them as she had been commanded. And you note that Naomi had given her this instruction to just remain off to the side. Do not make your presence known until after the celebration had ended, after he had eaten and drank and went and made his bed. You think this must have been another opportunity that Ruth would have to observe this man. How would he act? Would she witness him imbibing too much? Would he be a glutton? Would he be acting in ways that would be inappropriate? No, we don't see any sign of that among Boaz. And as she had those opportunities to watch and witness this scene play out before her eyes, this likely would give her greater confidence in what was to come as she would approach this one who had not only reached out to her within the harvest field and demonstrated grace to her as she was seeking to care for her mother-in-law, but also as she saw him celebrating, filled with thankfulness at what God had been pleased to do after he lifted the famine and bestowed these measures of barley upon the field. So she went down and she waited while Boaz had, until he had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, and he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. This threshing field likely would have been a large flat space. It would have been a public area. And there would have been many families that would have gathered there and gone through that process of winnowing. It would have been below the city. So it says she went down to the threshing floor because there they would have been able to benefit from the breezes that would have swept up and made the work of winnowing that grain even more effective. And it isn't unusual that after they would have had this celebration, a celebration that was customary when the abundance of God was on display. I mentioned this morning that we see these types of celebrations after the shearing of sheep. We see that in the account of Absalom. We see that with Abigail's husband, also Nabal, having a celebration after the sheep had been shorn. This was something that God's people did when they recognized the bounty which God had blessed them with. They would have these celebrations. And so it's likely that happened any time there was any type of harvest, but here we see that happening after a grain harvest. And after he had fallen asleep, we see that she came and she softly uncovered his feet and lay down. She uncovered his feet, and you think of the brilliance of this mother-in-law as she gives this instruction where, you know, you uncover this man's feet, and likely in Israel, what happens there is what commonly happens in South Sudan, that at about 2 o'clock in the morning, because of the predominant winds, a cool breeze comes in. And so it is likely that this man, whether it was around midnight, would have felt a bit of a chill as his feet were exposed to this cooler air. And the mother-in-law knew that this would rouse him. This would get his attention. This would raise him from his slumbers. It also ensured that the engagement between Ruth and Boaz would occur at a time when everybody else was sound asleep or had gone home. That this exchange, this very intricate discussion could take place at a time and in a way that would not bring dishonor to Ruth, nor bring any dishonor to this godly man, Boaz. And so we read here that at about midnight he was startled and he rolled over and he looked down at his feet. It's likely she was lying perpendicular to his feet. And he wonders who it is that is lying at his feet. And we see here again the humility of this servant of Ruth on display. As she answers him, "I am Ruth, your servant." Now, if you recall from the first encounter that Ruth had with Boaz in the fields, Boaz had called upon God to bless Ruth because of all of the kind and diligent work that she had done, demonstrating her love for her family, for Naomi. And he reminded her then that her leaving her country behind, her family, her loved ones, her gods behind, was so that she could come and be in Israel and be under the wings of God, under His pinions. And that's why we started off our call to worship this evening from Psalm 91, where we're reminded that picture is given to us of God taking us under His wings, His pinions, that wonderful position of security that is ours. And certainly, Boaz likely wanted to see these wonderful blessings come upon Ruth, but I think we see something interesting happening in the book of Ruth, that all of these actors are beginning to see the wonderful and complex way that God works to arrange all of the bits and pieces of His great plan. I'm certain that Boaz didn't think that his prayer for blessing would be something that he would carry out for Ruth. But yet we see here in this passage this evening that she calls upon that same imagery that Boaz used in the field by saying to him, "Spread out your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Boaz wanted for her protection, wanted for her provision, wanted her to know the comforts and peace that the God of Israel, and only the God of Israel, could give her. And here, he is being told by Ruth of this remaining need, this need for a redeemer, this need for a husband. We see here a wedding proposal put before us by Ruth. And she asked this with great boldness. If you notice, this wasn't part of the instruction that Naomi had given to Ruth. She breaks from the script at this point. And I think some of this stems from the fact that Ruth has been the one that has had the wonderful opportunity to witness the consistent, obedient life of Boaz over these last 8 weeks. She has seen a consistency in his manner. She sees in him a love of God, a desire to serve the Almighty. She has experienced his kindness, his grace, his wonderful provisions. She has talked amongst his workers and heard their wonderful reports about this wonderful man that they serve. And so she has witnessed him even this evening as he celebrated God's abundance, acting in an honorable way. I think that gave her the courage, even at this point, to ask even more directly for this covering to be put upon her, for him to carry out the duties of a redeemer. She knows that he's a family member. She's likely not familiar with the full lineage of Elimelech to know whether or not he is the closest redeemer. And neither is it likely that Naomi knew whether Boaz was the closest. They had been gone for a decade and a half. She says, "Spread out your wings over your servant. Give me your protection, for you are a redeemer." And we see a startled Boaz. Hear this impassioned plea from this faithful servant, this woman that he has had the opportunity to witness laboring day in and day out throughout the entirety of the harvest. The fact that she's there at that night, at this celebration, I think is a testimony that she had continued day after day after day laboring just as he had invited her to labor in the fields until the harvest was complete. Not only had he seen with his own eyes her diligent labor, that she was, after this manner of Proverbs 31, a godly woman, a determined, a diligent, a faithful woman who loved her mother-in-law. But he goes on to say that her reputation had become known throughout all of Bethlehem. Now this, I think, also gives us some idea that there were some discussions that were happening outside and off of the harvest fields where Boaz was growing in his appreciation for all of the many ways that Ruth was engaged in caring for her mother-in-law. And this had given to her a reputation among the Israelites that she was a most worthy woman. And so again we see that Boaz calls upon the name of the Lord. May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. For you have made this kindness greater than the first. Boaz was an older man. Boaz may have had the same mindset as Naomi, that he may have been beyond the days of himself having a wife. He may have contented himself not to have that blessing. And for this honorable woman, for this brave woman, this woman who had proven so diligent now to come and to lay herself at his feet, and to call upon him to protect and to redeem her, he is greatly honored. And we see him continuing to heap praises upon this faithful young woman. He knows that what she has done, what she has undertaken to place herself at his feet, had to have been a terrifying event, had to be something that would have evoked a lot of fear, and there's a lot of unknowns. How would he respond? Would he send me away? Would my desire and request be turned down? Would he treat me like I was just a foreigner, a Moabite woman? And he goes on and he says, you have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after younger men, whether rich or poor. You see, she was in the field. She would have had opportunity to meet and see a lot of others who were laboring there. She could have sought after those that were the strongest, those who were the best looking. But I think we see here a determination made in the one whom she has laid herself at his feet, based upon his being a God-fearer, being an honorable man, being one who feared the Lord and whose life emanated that care for and love of God. He goes on and we see that our story takes another little bit of a turn. He says, and now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do for you all you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know you are a worthy woman. And it is true that I am a redeemer, but you can imagine perhaps her heart sank when he got to that yet or but. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. There is one who's in lineage is closer to the family of Elimelech. There is one who is closer to Mahlon, that who would rightly, by the word of God, be the one who would take on this responsibility to be that kinsman redeemer, to ensure that the lineage of Mahlon does not pass out of existence, that the inheritance is kept intact. But he doesn't leave her with that news. He says, "Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Your need, your protection is insured. You will be redeemed. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you." You see here, Boaz and his character again is predominantly on display as one who not only is called down from God, blessing upon Ruth, but here we see that he seeks to give her confidence in this situation as he calls upon God to be a witness to his pledge that if this other nearer redeemer won't act upon his right, won't take her to be his wife, that Boaz won't let her go away empty, but rather that he will take this on. Now, as we stop and we think about Ruth, Ruth throughout this story has kind of gone from you know, the sadness of the loss of a husband and a father-in-law and a brother-in-law, and through a time of want with her mother-in-law, but then she began through chapter 2 to become acquainted with the God who gently guided her into safe fields and put her in the presence of godly owners that showed her kindness and provided an abundance where there had been want before. She is increasingly growing in her appreciation for the God of Israel, his greatness and the wonders of his hand. And here, as she had engaged in something that could have been very, very terrifying, something that took her out of her comfort zone, could have ended badly, but yet she goes and gets this word, and really there's nothing better that she could have asked for than what she has gotten on this dark night, where she has gained the benefit of an advocate in Boaz, who is going to, as we'll see next week, go out and ensure that this matter of a redeemer is tended to, that a decision is made, and that she has a resolution to this desire that she has laid at his feet to spread wings over this servant. What a great promise that we see Ruth has been given. And I mentioned this morning that this book of Ruth is such a wonderful demonstration of God's wonderful plan of redemption. We see it in the life of Ruth and the relationship with Boaz. But this is something that you and I can relate to, because you and I also have laid ourselves at the feet of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And there we have cried out to him, "Throw your garment across us that we might know your protection." And we too were met with the same response from our beloved Savior. "I will redeem you." We find ourselves as those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ under his mighty wings. We find ourselves under his garment, where we are protected, where our needs are met, where our sadness has been taken away, and in its place we rejoice that he has given us new life, that he has opened our eyes and allowed us to see the beauty of his creation. He has unstopped our ears that we may hear and attest to his goodness and the wonders of his wonderful plan. That he has loosed our mouths that we may speak about our King to all those whom he puts across our path, that they too may come to know the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Protector, our Provider, our husband. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful passage because it reminds us of God's love demonstrated to us. as his bride, the church. And may it give us courage as it had to give Ruth courage. And may it result in us going forth with enthusiasm to speak about our beloved, our first love, Jesus Christ. Let's look to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you did not leave us as aliens and foreigners, dead in our transgressions, but Lord, you were pleased by the might of your hand to guide and direct us, that we may come and see ourselves at the feet of our Redeemer Jesus Christ, and there to find our covering, our comfort, our life in him. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful picture of your great plan of redemption. We thank you, Lord, as we study this word together, as we are growing in our knowledge of how you were pleased to bring not only the kingdom of David into existence through this marriage, but Lord, how you were pleased later to see your son placed upon that throne where he reigns forevermore as our King, our Lord, our Redeemer. Lord, may this not fade from our mind, but may you bring this to our mind each and every day, that we might take every opportunity you afford us to speak of the one whom we love, and that we might marvel as we see your hand continuing to add to the number those who are being saved in and by the name of Jesus Christ. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.